don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
I want it. Can't stop, won't stop. Yes,
Carnell.
Love it. Don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
Yes, Dad.
What, cut off that damn TV show watching that ignorant ass shit? Got you messing up your homework, damn mixture show niggas. Making black folks look like damn fools. Talking about I love it. If it was your damn timetables, would you love that? How about loving some long division, nigga? Can't stop, won't stop bringing these damn L's home on your fucking report card. And somebody get the damn phone. Damn, I pay the bills. Can somebody at least answer the phone?
Then I got it. Hello? It's for you.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spam Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spam, and this is episode number 11 of the report. Now, of course, as always, please be warned that this show does come with an explicit tag on it for language and adult subject matter. So please remove the shorties from earshot of this grown folks conversation, alright? Now, with today's show, your man Spam made a visit back to my hometown of Chicago. I gotta tell y'all what happened to me there. Cornell West and Tavis Smiley made a visit to the city of Detroit on their poverty bus tour. We'll talk about that for a bit. I'll give my take on the riots that was popping off over in Europe, and I got some listener feedback to respond to, and of course, the R&B and hip-hop that you've come to expect. So let's get right into it, fam. Real talk, all the time, here on the Spam Report Podcast.
Now it's a celebration. Yeah. Oh, girl, let's celebrate. Yeah, it's a celebration. Oh, girl, let's celebrate. Baby, tonight I'm yours. Come on and unwrap your gift. No, you can't find it in stores. It's some tailor-made for you kind of shit. It's like, oh, oh, you don't wanna miss this. Feels like it's Christmas. It's like, oh, oh, yeah, it's a holiday, but I'm open for business.
We got a bottle of that rosé.
Baby, we gon' celebrate.
Make you feel like it's your birthday.
Baby, girl, let's celebrate.
Private after party.
I can't wait to celebrate.
All up on your body.
Baby, I'ma celebrate.
On the 4th of July.
In between your thighs.
It's like fireworks just light up the sky.
Don't need no reservation.
You're my invitation
to this lovemaking.
It's a celebration.
Baby, let's close the door. I'm about to teach you this sex education. Since you passed every course, hats off to your graduation.
It's like, oh, oh, you don't wanna miss this.
Feels like it's Christmas.
It's like, oh, oh,
yeah, it's a holiday, but I'm open for business.
We got a bottle of that rosé.
Baby, we gon' celebrate.
Make it feel like it's your birthday.
Baby, girl, let's celebrate.
Private after party.
How can we just celebrate?
All up on your body.
Baby, I'ma celebrate.
Like the 4th of July.
In between your thighs.
It's like fireworks just light up the sky.
Don't need no reservation.
You're my invitation
to this lovemaking.
It's a celebration.
How'd I do? How'd I do? Baby, tell me how you feel. They say real girls ain't never perfect. Perfect girls ain't real. I'd agree, but I guess we'll just wait and see. Cause I swear you act like perfect is the only way to be. Nothing matters except for you. Don't let no one out here blind you. Don't remember why you love me. Please allow me to remind you. And I know you left me once, but I came right back to find you. Even though I like being in your past, you got a bright future behind you. Ooh, damn, ooh. Girl, I must admit I look amazing next to you. Girl, you crazy, sexy, cool. And you stayed obsessed with school. But that's good, cause you know that them grades impress me too. And my free days are just for you, but I don't get many. It's like every time we spend time, it feels like the first time. Cause we never spend enough time. You catch me at the worst time. It ain't like you're not worth time, just I don't control it. But tonight I made it happen just to celebrate the moment. Give it up one time.
I just wanna celebrate the night with you. I bought some party favors, I'ma light it up if that's alright with you. How you feeling now? Tryna lay it down. We can count down.
Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We got a bottle of that rosé.
Baby, we gon' celebrate.
Make it feel like it's your birthday.
Baby, girl, let's celebrate.
Private after party.
How can we just celebrate?
All up on your body.
Baby, I'ma celebrate.
It's like the 4th of July.
In between your thighs.
It's like fireworks just light up the sky.
Don't passion to this love making. It's a celebration.
Celebrate the moment. Give it up one time. Yeah, man, I can roll with that shit right there. Even though Drake has fostered the reputation of being a bit moist, I still fucks with this track right here. That was Celebration by Tank featuring Drake off of Tank's Now or Never album, so you know what to do. But anyway, I finally done it. I've come to grips with it, and I've accepted who I am, and I'm finally ready to come out to you guys right here on the show. I'm a nerd. I've been on a down low about my nerdness for some time now, and I just can't hide it anymore. Of course, you know, I'm not a flamboyant nerd or anything like that. You know, I don't wear any pocket protectors, and I even used to hide how smart I was by being a damn good athlete. But yes, I am a nerd. Whoa, whoa. Whoa! Wait a minute. Hey, shut the hell up. The fuck are y'all booing about? The hell did y'all think I was about to say? Anyway, I came to this realization when I noticed I'm one of the people that all my friends call when they got a computer question or a phone question or anything that has to do with some type of consumer technology. Funny thing is, I didn't go to school for this shit. I just use computers a lot and I try to stay up on the next thing coming down the pipeline. I'm like Best Buy's Geek Squad, only free and shit. And if I don't know the answer to your question, you know, I'll just refer you to a YouTube video where I picked up a lot of the info that I know now. Now, don't get this shit twisted, though, and start hitting up the Span Report hotline with questions about your computer. I'll just send your ass over to Scotty Digital's Facebook, and you can inundate him with that shit. Oh, iPhone is the best thing since sliced bread, ass nigga. I kid. Those iPhone and Android arguments are always funny to me, though. I'll read up on some technical article, and in the comments section, they'll talk about one phone versus the other, and people would get absolutely disgusted with you if you had the audacity to pick something other than what they got, which is something I never really quite understood. People are actually starting to gauge their self-worth by the products that they own. You know, I was on the HuffingtonPost.com in the technical section, and I was just reading a story about how Apple just won an injunction in Germany to keep the Samsung Galaxy Tab from being sold in the EU. Now, basically, Apple, from my understanding of it, is alleging that the Galaxy Tab 10.1 looks too much like an iPad, and consumers would get confused and not be able to tell the difference between the two. So Samsung shouldn't be allowed to sell their tablet. Which to me sounds like some bullshit, because if anybody actually goes to the store and check out each of these tablets, there are a number of things that one can tell right off the top that are different. Anyway, without going into all of that shit, I was noticing how people on both sides of the fence, both Apple and Android owners, were acting as if Apple and Google were paying their asses to defend these fucking products. It's like they forget that neither company really gives a damn about them, and that both companies is looking to rape your pockets. And they have basically turned a lot of people into unpaid spokespeople for their products. I mean, it's as if, I don't know, like people are like drones when it comes to iPhone, Android, or whatever the hell else. As is the world of nerdness. I think George Carlin said it best.
Have you noticed that their stuff is shit and your shit is stuff?
My sentiments exactly. Now, you know, I've been making it a point to go to the movies a lot more lately. And I done turned my back on bootlegs and bootlegging, and I actually do enjoy going to the theater. Although I do long for the days when you went to the movies and you got a double feature for $6, as opposed to the one movie you get for $10 now. Not to mention that $8 bag of popcorn with all that heart attack juice they pour into that shit. But I've been going a lot more lately. A couple weeks ago, me and my daughter, we went to go see Transformers 3, which was fucking awesome. And I think I'm creating a monster when it comes to her. First thing she asked me when I told her we were going to see Transformers was, are we going to see it in 3D? She's a little bougie when it comes to standard definition viewing, I guess. And then last night I was playing Angry Birds on my tablet, and she asked me if she could have one for Christmas to go along with the Nintendo DS and the PSP and all the other tech toys I've gotten over the years. But anyway, when I went to go see Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which too was fucking awesome, I kept seeing signs for this new movie, The Help. Now, if any of you listen to the Mac Lessons radio show hosted by Tariq Nasheed, he's spoken about this movie a few times on his show and how important it is for us as black folks to better control our images. And at the time, I was kind of brushing that aside, like, you know, man, it ain't really that deep. But then I just started noticing this this recent push to get this movie everywhere. When I was in Chicago, I was at the grocery store with my aunt and my grandmother, and I noticed a Jet magazine with the cover story being about this movie, The Help, and why we need to see this film. I was watching Entertainment Tonight. Well, really, the shit was kind of like watching me, because I was working on something on my computer and the TV was just on. But they were talking about how great the movie was on there. When I went to the movies to see both Transformers and Planet of the Apes, that was one of the more prominent trailers that they played. I was on CNN.com, and they were talking about the virtues of the movie there. Hell, even on my tablet, I was browsing through books on the Google Books app, and that was the featured book for download there. Suddenly, this movie The Help was all over the damn place, and now it's right in my face, and so now I'm annoyed. Now, I read a bit of that Jet article while I was at the grocery store, and one of the sisters, I can't think of her name right now, but one of the sisters who plays one of the maids in this movie was talking about why the African-American community should support this film is because it's more than just a movie about maids, how these maids are integral parts of the story and not just props, and that the movie has a largely African-American cast and that there aren't a lot of black folks or black folks in movies in Hollywood with so many prominent roles, and those films just aren't being greenlit and that we need more of them. Now, of course, I understand that this sister has a movie to sell, and I ain't knocking a hustle at all, but I would just as soon keep my money in my pocket than to go see yet another movie where black folks are in some sort of subservient position. We've had a healthy diet of that for quite some time now, from Gone with the Wind and Imitation of Life from back in the day, to movies like The Green Mile, Radio, and The Blind Side more recently. Now, I've seen some folks argue that black folks are just a bit too sensitive and that too many of us act as if we're ashamed of our past. No, we're not ashamed. And those of us who know a lot more about our history before, say, a Christopher Columbus, know all too well that we come from a very proud people, which is why it's insulting to us that the only movies with majority black casts that seem to get the most Hollywood backing are movies that show us in, you know, as maids and as servants. And even when we do get a movie where, say, like a brother gets to be president, the fucking world is coming to an end. Y'all see Deep Impact in 2012? Hell, why can't we get like a black superhero movie? You know, one where the hero doesn't have a drinking problem and still needing the help of some white folks to show him how useful and powerful he could be? Now, a lot of us are just tired of seeing ourselves as maids, butlers, gangsters, clowns, and pimps. There's a whole lot more to our community than just that, and we're just tired of seeing that same shit all the time. Well, we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I'm going to touch on the riots that happened over in the UK. I'm going to tell you guys what happened to me during my visit back home to Chicago. I got some listener feedback to get to and a whole lot more, so stick around.
I jump back into public eye, squirting lemon juice in it. By now you just wish I'd fucking die, but I electrify, get electrocuted, executed by the execution of my flow too quick for the human eye to detect zooming by. Guess who? What's happening, guy? They told me to shit, I fell off that pot, hop right back on that crap, or an eye. Said fuck it, but a capital I. Look who's back to antagonize. You don't like it, you can eat shit, fuck off, little faggot and die. You right back like a magnet on my dick grabbing in my shit, better get to the back of the line. If you wanna get your shot at me, what kind of crap is that battle? What kind of rapper would I be before I let another rapper think he's hot? I'll bury my face in a stinky twat and go la 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 la. Girl, my headspace is limited, ain't even room in the back of my mind. So I ain't thinking about you, I don't got time, and I told you 1,000 times. So how can I find the time to put an alkaline battery and Royce's back in at the same time, put juice in mine? God damn, this little house is dying.
Slaughterhouse! I'm a menace villain, my pen is sitting, spilling, my lyrics killing. Then I let you witness shit when it hit the ceiling. A nigga's willing to give the listeners the sickest feeling, like mixing some Benadryl and penicillin. Then I'm filling a clip with a written. Can you picture my pistol drilling a million women and children when I'm illin'? But it isn't real, it's a rap. On the real, it's a rap. How could you possibly stop the apocalypse when I'm atomic bombing the populace? Shock the metropolis, hostile as a kid popping a Glock at his mom's and his pops. Then he hops and his drop with his iPod rocking his slaughterous documentation of lyrics. I write with confidence, write like a columnist slash novelist. I'm in this game to demolish it, establish my dominance over prominent rappers. You popping shit to your opposite, I could spit ominous, so spit politics. Now I'm Haile Selassie, Gandhi, in pocket, this hip-hop genre. Bitch.
ability to brain. It's a no-brain bout, boy. Physically, I'm literally a cocaine cowboy. Wait, wait, did I just go almost four bars without talking about my big dick? The other day, me and your thick bitch had a great date, and we ate cake, and then we walk, and then she tried to jack me off, but she lost, cause she couldn't handle my shake weight. I swear, the irony of Ryan is I am bipolar while I'm rhyming, standing beside a big old white bear. Neither one of us fight fit. You were literally looking at Woody and Wesley in a movie with a white boy ain't got to jump nowhere, cause I'm here. Nigga, I'm on fire, yeah, and I'm every bitch's dream. One, two, I'm coming for you, I'm a big old nightmare. Nigga, this is slaughter, step it up. I'll pretty much slap your ass and tell you to shut the fuck up. After that, I slap your ass again and tell you to shut the fuck up, shutting up. And that's how you body it fucking beat.
Man, get a stopwatch, clock my flow. Hit the button on top, watch your drill drop. Oh, oh, that, oh, yeah. Why? When I drop, I go out of space. Black out like Darth Vader's face. Placed in the molten shower. Say something and get the rubber. Mama, papa, pouring out vodka. Mama, Mia, and pass me the Caesars. It's Caesar that's in the slaughterhouse. Got high. Better get boy, go home. Better get boy, G4 Chrome. Better get boy, Mark Sanchez, Antonio Holmes. I'm not your any old homeboy. Just sitting in the lab, picking up a pad. I be spitting bad. I'ma get you mad with this. If I have little duck suffering, sick attached. When a trigger blast, I'ma put your beak on your feet and rap. With a lick of ass. Sip a yak, bad bitch, in a vicious track. I'm better than that. Slide Pro Tools to bone strokes, move a coast to the west like we're trucking lemonade. New York is a piggyback ride to the motherland. Hold on, brother man, on the other hand, get down. I'm gonna fam, gun butt you with the eagle handle. Cunningham, I don't wanna talk, I just wanna beef. I don't wanna peace, I want it all, baby boy. I don't wanna eat, I wanna feast. Stuff my cheeks with rough beats and shit. You dumb weak, I'm the one compete. Yeah.
Slaughter.
Insane what they call us. How you married to the game, but you probably shouldn't have came to the altar. Every bar like propane for the soda. If you try to hang in and forge your imminent Mr. Porter. Slaughter my sentiments, imminent torture. All of your feminine marauders that swim in that water. Men will assault you. Tommy's a bastard, a symbol of sword. Kidnapping trembling daughter, at least a quarter. I'm a menacing supporter. Got an aura more like Sodom and Gomorrah. Normally something's wrong with me. Blaming the quantity of the porn I see on the pawns to me. When I fix the game, they'll think shit came with a warranty. How the fuck they gonna stop what I was born to be? Corner me, shit belong to me. Two choices, you can get along with me or sit your faggot ass right there in dormancy. Wait, all he missing is heels to be RuPaul. Ain't nobody that's real ever knew y'all sex. To none and I'm dealing with bones. Whose time I never come now, deal with the blue balls. You ain't gotta fear me, but you respect me. Niggas who never met me, threatened me, wanted you let me. Come in a sword fight, get some machete. Swinging spaghetti like it's heavy. Some said he deserve an SB in a Chevy like Andretti. Put the Desi with his chest beat.
Slaughterhouse!
Yeah, man. The lyricism in that joint was just flat out crazy. That was Loud Noises off of Eminem and Royce da 5'9's Bad Meets Evil album featuring Slaughterhouse, so you know what to do. Now, Eminem and Royce are definitely representing the D well in this hip-hop shit. Unfortunately, there's some others here in the D with illusions of grandeur in their head when it comes to this rap shit. Now, I just so happened to be on YouTube just browsing, you know, videos about Detroit, and I came across this one video for this rapper named Animal, and he has this track called Aphrodisiac. Now, the song was fucking horrible, and that was the comment that I left on the video. Well, lo and behold, guess what happened? The guy removed my comment and called me a hater in a private message on YouTube. Now, I told this dude I wasn't hating on him. I don't know this guy to hate him. I was just being honest, and, you know, that might not be the... He might want to try to find a different medium to be on if he can't take honest criticism, especially on YouTube, because the people will be honest and sometimes just be real trollish about this shit. But I'm gonna give you guys just a sample of this track, and maybe y'all could tell me if I was just tripping. Check this shit out.
Tell me you love me.
You make me want you more than the world.
Tell me you love me.
Aphrodisiac. You're my aphrodisiac. You're my.
I need
Aphrodisiac. You're mine.
Ooh wee, you make me so thirsty. I'm longing for you. Your chocolate brown skin, your curves, your waistline make it so attractive. I'm like, ooh, I gotta have it. Let me take you out for a night on the town. Caribbean lover, champagne and sex sounds. You make me wanna pound. In the sheets, I'm a clown. A beast, I put it down. I'm talking all the way down. Down.
So- okay, that's enough of that shit. Ugh. Anyway, that song was horrible and the video was even worse. You know, it's got the requisite strip club footage and then there's some young girl You know, she's on there getting real extra with a blow pop, and then it's him sitting in a hotel room smoking a blunt. I'll provide the link to the video on thespanreport.com just to show him I ain't hating. I mean, I'm even willing to help him promote his shit. Go tell him what you think about his music, alright? No, but in all seriousness though, that video actually brings me to another issue about Detroit. The lack of jobs here in the city and the lack of viable skills by a lot of these cats are driving more and more dudes like Animal into trying to become rappers and win that lottery ticket of a major label deal. And make no mistake, there's a lot of broken, desperate people here in Detroit. I'm not going to sugarcoat that shit by any stretch of the imagination. So much so that Tavis Smiley and Cornel West made it a point to come to Detroit doing their poverty bus tour as a means to bring attention to the plight of the poor. The poor that they feel have been neglected even more so since the election of President Barack Obama. Here, Tavis and Dr. West speaking recently on C-SPAN about their Obama and about the tour. Here, check this out.
Again, of the media, well, we, like everybody else, have a standing request for the president. Every so often, my staff on TV and radio, because I do two radio shows and my show, of course, every night on PBS. So we are constantly inviting the president to be on our show. I will say, since you asked, I don't normally raise this, but I talked to the president. I've known him for many years as a friend. And prior to his being elected, he came on my radio programs and TV programs with regularity. Once he got elected, and my critique of him about holding him accountable to various things didn't sit so well with him or the people around him. He has not, at this point, come on my TV or radio programs one time since he's been in the White House. It's the first president in my professional career that hasn't invited me to the White House for anything. I've not been invited to the White House for all the things, all the events they do. Never invited to the White House.
The media type events?
Media events. Never invited to the White House.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. Ray Wing brothers. Yeah. Getting access to it. No, but I think the president's wrong in that regard. But that's true. You got Roland Martin and other people who would like to have sustained interviews with the president, and he seems to be reluctant. But when he moves into campaign mode, it's going to be different.
That's your point, very quickly. I'm not crying about that. I'm answering the question. Right, I don't even raise that publicly.
Right.
I answered it because you asked about it. But at the end of the day, my commitment is to justice for all, service to others, to try to exhibit a love that will liberate people. If that takes you to the White House, then so be it. If it doesn't, so be it. I don't lose sleep over it.
All right.
Okay. Let me first say that I voted for President Obama. I had a lot of hopes for not only what his presidency represented, but what I felt could be accomplished given the fact that he had the White House and both houses of Congress in Democratic control, the Senate and the House of Representatives. The man came in with a mandate, and people were expecting results, especially after the 8 years we just had with that numbskull George W. Bush. But I've been disappointed with the job the president has done thus far. I feel like he tries to reach across the aisle to the Republicans a bit too much. Even when those people have made it clear that they don't really want to work with him, and they have said it publicly that they want to see him fail, and they want to make him a one-term president. And lately, he's been helping them out. Just recently with the debt ceiling debate, House Speaker Republican John Boehner did an interview essentially bragging that he got 98% of what he wanted out of the negotiations. No new taxes on the wealthy, and a lot of spending cuts on social programs that generally help those less fortunate. And far too many times it happens this way. Obama just seems like he's a piss-poor negotiator from the looks of it. The same thing happened with the universal health care. The insurance companies got a lot of what they wanted out of those deals. So for Tavis Smiley and Cornel West to do this tour, I'm kind of torn, because I agree with them in this instance. But at the same time, I can't help but feel that these two dudes aren't the ones to be picking up the bullhorns and shouting out the demands of the people. Both of these dudes have personal gripes with President Obama. It's been widely noted and publicized that Tavis Smiley hasn't exactly been a fan of Obama since Tavis held his annual State of the Black Union Symposium back in 2008. Now, this was during a time when Obama was in a heavily fought primary battle with Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. Now, Obama cited campaign commitments that would, you know, keep him from attending this event, and instead offered to send his wife, Michelle Obama, in his place. And for whatever reason, Tavis Smiley rejected that offer. Now, of course, Hillary Clinton saw an opening politically with this turn of events, and she showed up at the State of the Black Union. Now, remember, this is still at a time when people were still, you know, they were still asking, was Obama black enough for black folks? But since that time, Tavis has been one of President Obama's more vocal critics. And even though Tavis says it's about holding the president accountable, I just get the feeling that it's more than that with him. Now, as for Kanye West, Cornel West, I've been a longtime fan and avid reader of Dr. West, like, since high school. His understanding of a lot of the geopolitical and societal problems we face are some of the more insightful that I come across. And even with him, I see personal ego and pettiness in his involvement in this tour. Now, a lot of you can remember that Dr. West was an avid supporter of President Obama, and he campaigned for the president often. I think Dr. West says he participated in like 60 campaign events. But a rift between the president and Dr. West developed during one campaign event where Dr. West stated that Obama wasn't as progressive as he should be during an Obama campaign event. And since then, he wasn't asked to speak at any more subsequent events, and he wasn't invited to be a guest of the president during the inauguration. And Dr. West been pissed ever since then. Now, even in this clip, Tavis was talking about how he hasn't been invited to the White House. And I'm thinking that would be like me inviting Alan Heller to Tennessee State's homecoming. Not exactly something I would be jumping through hoops to try to do. Now, more recently, Steve Harvey went on a rant on his radio show and called both Tavis Smiley and Cornel West a couple of Uncle Toms, which I don't think is fair at all, even though I agree with his overall criticism. Wait, did I just say that? Anyway, I just don't feel like just because they're black that they're supposed to agree with the president. And it's their right to speak out against the president and voice their concerns about his policies or lack thereof. I just think that with me and with a lot of people, these aren't the greatest messengers to have when you know the history of the relationships that bring us to what's going on today. But we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I'm going to briefly touch on the riots that happened out in the UK, my trip back home to the Shy. I got some listener feedback to get to and a lot more. So stick around.
Feel her, she touching me. It's too familiar. The way she doing the thing, she does exactly the way you're used to. Let me take a break. I need a breather. The way she moving, I can't believe how she does exactly the same. I must be going insane. Oh. Do I need some therapy to get shawty out of my mind?
Girl, my head is racing.
And shawty's been a meeting of the rest of my month.
Am I making love to you through her? Am I making love to you through her? Am I making love to you through her? Love through her.
That I left that part of life behind me. It's back to home. Every girl that loves me, why can't she leave me alone? Can't believe every girl that I hold. I see you. The greatest times we had been messed up. Push back the line, but I can't. I need to move forward into my life. I had a place and a time. To apologize.
Am I going crazy?
Do I need some therapy to get shawty out of my mind?
Girl, my head is racing.
And shawty's been a meeting of the rest of my mind.
Am I making love to you through her? Am I making love to you through her? Am I making love to you through her? Love through her, love through her.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Some new shit I just stumbled upon. At least this track here, anyway. That was The Weeknd with Love Through Her. Now, I'm not sure what album or mixtape that came from, and I just snatched this shit right here right up off of YouTube, but if you like this, then you should definitely cop his House of Balloons joint. He's got like an alternative R&B sound to me, and I definitely fucks with it. Shout out to Miss Music Lover from the Where's My 40 Acres podcast for putting me on. But switching gears a little bit, I'm going to touch on the riots that happened over in the UK over the past couple of weeks. At first, I wasn't going to touch it because I didn't feel like I was educated enough to really speak to it. And I don't really like talking about things, especially if I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I've been getting hit up a lot lately about what I think about the riots from quite a few people, and I'll just give my opinion, although I'm a bit limited in my understanding of what was happening over there. Now, as a matter of history, I have never actually seen riots bring about any substantial changes for the communities that engage in them. I mean, I think back to all the footage I used to see coming up through school about the race riots in Watts and Chicago, even here in Detroit. You know, there's still parts of the city that was never rebuilt after the riots here in 1967. I think about that Rodney King verdict and how the city of Los Angeles was damn near burned to the ground after the community was upset with the not guilty verdict handed down by that court. And that's not to say that people aren't justified in their frustrations with the government or with the social order or with the laws that may be disproportionately applied to them. But at the end of the day, when the riots are over and everybody gets out of jail, what's left with, you know, but the hood that was already fucked up being infinitely worse? Now, sure, in the media, one of the prevailing images we always see is that of the looter. Those who ain't even mad at the government or can give a damn about the issue that started the riot in the first damn place. They just see this as an opportunity for them to get some free shit. And of course, that's the image that those in power want to be seen. But again, even after the riots are over, what is it that you come back to? How did it change your situation? Now keep in mind, I'm not as well versed in the political climate in the UK as I am in the US, naturally, and I still don't know exactly why they were rioting. But at the end of the day, there are better, more effective ways to bring about the changes you want, and you don't have to tear up your own neighborhoods to do it. And that's to hit the controlling interest in their pockets. Not talking about looting, I'm talking about sustained, organized, and unified boycotts of corporate interests, of municipal entities, basically from those who benefit from the status quo at your expense. Dr. King showed us how effective that could be with the bus boycotts in Montgomery, Alabama. A sustained, organized, and unified boycott that lasted for 381 days. It was effective, and above all, it achieved the results that the suffering community set out to obtain. Now, this isn't to say that I don't sympathize with our brothers and sisters in the UK. I just feel like there was a better way to go about trying to get the changes that the community were crying out for. But then again, this is just based on what little I do know about the situation over there. But we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I'm going to talk about my trip back home to the Shy. I got some listener feedback to respond to, and we're going to wrap up the show. So stick around. Yeah.
And you say Shy City. Shy City, Shy City.
I'm coming home again. Do you think about me now and then?
Yeah.
Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home again.
Girl, when I was 3 years old, and what I loved most, she had so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is Wendy and I like to blow trees, and from that point, I never blow her off. Niggas come from out of town, I like to show her off. They like to act tough, she like to tone them off and make them straighten up their hat, cause she know they soft. And when I grew up, she showed me how to go downtown, and at nighttime, my face lit up so astounding. I told her, and my heart is where she always be. She never mess with entertainers cause they always leave. She said it felt like they walked and drove on me. Knew I was gang affiliated, got on TV and told on me. I guess that's why last winter she got so cold on me. She said, yeah, keep making that platinum and gold for me.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home again. Me and home
But if you really cared for, then you wouldn't have never hit the airport to follow your dreams. Sometimes I still talk to her, but when I talk to her, it always seems like she's talking about me. She said you left your kids, and they just like you. They wanna rap and make soul beats just like you, but they just not you. And I just got through talking about what niggas trying to do, just not new. Now everybody got the game figured out all wrong. I guess you never know what you got till it's gone. I guess that's why I'm here and I can't come back home. And guess when I heard that, when I was back home. Every interview I'm representing you, making you proud. Reach for the stars, so if you fall you land on a cloud. Jump in the crowd, sparking lighters, wave them around. If you don't know by I'm now, I'm talking again. About Chi-Town.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home. Start again.
Y'all know I was banging this shit in the ride as soon as I crossed that Illinois border. Of course, y'all know that was Kanye West featuring Chris Martin with Homecoming off of Kanye's Graduation album. But yeah, man, I was on my way back home to the crib and I was excited. I hadn't been back home in a while. Well, at least not since like last Christmas, but I hadn't been back home in Chicago during the summertime in some years. Shit just never seemed to line up right for it to happen. Either my ass was broke and couldn't make the trip, or I had the money to make the trip, but couldn't get the time off work to make the trip. So this time, shit just lined up good. The promotion I got and the extra hours I've been putting in at work had the funds in my pocket right. And I had some vacation time just begging to be used. So I was finally able to get my ass in the car and make that 4-hour drive from Detroit to Chicago. So I was excited, man. I had a weekend full of shit planned. Now, I don't know how many of you guys listen to the Morning Jones podcast like I've been telling you to, but there's a brother from Chicago that calls the show every day, Mike from Chicago, and every day Mike has some extraordinary shit going on, and he kept talking about this 939 club on the west side of Chi. So I'm listening to the Morning Jones, and Mike is telling everybody about one of his latest adventures. So I'm like, you know what? When I get to the Chi, I'm going to kick it with Mike at the 939 club. So I get into town. And I stopped at my grandma's crib first, you know, let my peoples know I made it in town, but that I was actually about to go kick it as soon as I got there, and that I was going to crash in my boy Cliff's crib, which was actually damn near around the corner, right around the corner from the 939 club. So I get to my boy's crib, and we talking about the shit we used to do when we was at Tennessee State and shit, you know, just reminiscing about, you know, some of that wild shit we got into in college. And, you know, we was basically getting the gear ready to hit the club. And I called Mike to let him know I was in town and that I'd be there, you know, at the club shortly. But lo and behold, the whole damn sky opened up. And it was like, it was raining like cats, dogs, rats, and roaches up in that motherfucker. It was coming down so hard that when I called Mike, he said the power was off at the club. So needless to say, I didn't get a chance to kick it like I wanted to when I got home. But no big thing. You know, my boy Cliff, he just became a father recently. So I got a chance to meet my new nephew the next day. And I had other things planned that night also, going to the movies and whatnot. But when we were going to see his son, we were riding around downtown and I just got giddy for some damn reason. I was looking at all the damn people downtown, looking at all the new shit they had built up down there, and I was just proud to say that I was from Chicago at that moment. Hell, for a brief second, hell, I was even considering moving back. But I mean, I had the weekend full of shit planned, and even if I didn't, my aunt had something planned for me. We had a little get together at my granny's house, and I got my granny to drink some Bud Light Limes with me, you know that. And my granny doesn't even drink, so I just thought that shit was funny, especially when I was about to leave to come back home to Detroit, and she wanted to know if I left any more of those joints in the fridge. And let's see, like my aunt, she playing matchmaker and shit, you know, she invited some women she felt like I should be interested in, And if I didn't know no better, I swear she's trying to get my ass married off. And soon. I had a few of my people from high school. They showed up at the, you know, at the get together and whatnot. And we just ate. You know, we drank. We had some lively discussion. I couldn't like record that shit for y'all. But it was all good. You know, I was just having a really good time, great time being back home. So Sunday rolls around, and this is going to be like my last day really kicking it or anything before I hop back on the road and head back home to Detroit. And I was just going, you know, I was going to go downtown and do the tourist thing. Act like I ain't never been there before. Take pictures and shit and just enjoy the city before I had to go back home. And this is where my trip turned completely to shit. I was on my way to pick up my boy Sean. He was going to roll with me downtown. And, you know, I'm driving on my way to pick him up. And as I'm driving, I notice an unmarked police car getting lined behind me at the light. Now, I'm not thinking anything of it, really, until he turns on the lights to pull me over. So I pull over, and to my surprise, it's not just one unmarked car, but two. And the other car pulled in front of me as if they were trying to box me in or something. So they get out, and they tell me to put my hands up, which, of course, I did. And then they told me to get out of the car. So I undo my seatbelt, and I get out of the car. And then they immediately put the handcuffs on me, put on the bracelets. Now they tell me that they stopped me because my car fit the description of a car leaving the scene of a shooting, and that car also had out-of-state license plates. Now, of course, this is it's utterly fucking ridiculous, but I'm like, okay, I ain't did nothing. I'm not really worried. But they instantly started searching my car, something that I didn't give them permission to do. And in my center console, they find two fully loaded magazines, and they pull them out like they just found the Holy Grail and shit. So now the flood of questions come. What are you doing with these? They go to my gun. Do you have a FOID card? Which is the firearm owner's ID card that they issue in the state of Illinois. I told them that I didn't have a FOID card because I don't live in Illinois. I live in Michigan, and I have a Michigan concealed pistol license. Now, keep in mind that Illinois is the only state in the country where you're not allowed to carry a concealed firearm, even if you are licensed from another state. They don't honor any type of concealed pistol licenses. But I wasn't carrying my gun at the time. The only thing they found in my car was the two loaded magazines. And the reason the gun wasn't in my car was because I knew I wasn't allowed to carry my gun in Chicago. Even though I felt as naked as a jaybird without that shit, though. But anyway, I showed them the license in my wallet, and they scoffed at it. Said it looked like I made the shit myself, because the card isn't like, you know, a lot of these digital driver's licenses or state IDs. It's just a laminated card. I just told them to call the Michigan State Police or the Detroit Police if they had any questions about it. So now they want to know where the gun is, because like I said, it wasn't in the car. And I told them, it's in my luggage at my grandmother's house. Then they asked me, why would it be there? And I told them because I knew I couldn't carry it in Chicago. Excuse me. So now they tried to be slick and shit. You know, they want to know, well, you know there's a handgun ban in the city of Chicago, right? Not thinking that I would know that the handgun ban in Chicago was just struck down last year by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional with the case of McDonald versus the city of Chicago. Now, out of all of this, the only crime I've committed up until this point was driving without a license. I didn't have my driver's license on me, and the only ID I had on me at the time was my gun card. So one of the cops even said to me, well, all we can get you on is driving without a license, and ain't nobody locking folks up for that. So I'm thinking that's that. I can get my magazines back. I can get back in my car and be on my way back downtown to kick it. Wrong. Wrong. The other cops want to take me back to the station for a charge that they haven't even determined yet. And while they're taking me to the police station, they send 5 cars to my grandmother's house to go get my gun. They even told my granny that they didn't have a warrant, but if she signed something that they gave her, basically to give them permission to search the home, they could be in and out. But my granny told me even before she could even finish reading and signing the paper, another police officer was already going through my luggage and had my gun. So now, your man Span is sitting in the precinct, handcuffed to a table. The arresting officer comes back all smug and shit. Well, we got the gun. As if his stupid ass forgot that I told them where the fucking gun was in the first place. I wasn't hiding anything. So now he wants to tell me about the favors he's done for me, how he didn't tow my car, how they didn't charge me with any felonies, and what a felony conviction could mean for my, you know, employment back here in Detroit. And then he goes into these what-if scenarios, you know, like, what if my younger cousins had found my gun and started playing with it? How would that make you feel if they accidentally shot one another? You know, that sort of shit to make me feel guilty. Then he asks me, was I in any danger? I told him no. And then he says, I don't know where you grew up, but I never felt the need to own a gun until I became a police officer. So if I wasn't in any danger, why was I carrying a gun? My reply was simple. First of all, it's my fucking right. Number two, if I'm ever in a situation to where I am in any danger, I would prefer for the police to be cleaning them motherfuckers up as opposed to cleaning me up. Police always show up after the shit done hit the fan, not during. I hope I would never have to shoot anyone, but I'm prepared to defend myself should that situation warrant that. I mean, there's a reason why I went through the classes and paid the money to not only own but carry my gun legally. I sounded like a straight up Republican in that precinct that day, straight up. But anyway, I'm thinking they don't really have shit to hold me on, so I ask him, can I go? And he tells me no, I'm spending the night in jail, and I have to go before the judge in the morning, and the judge will determine whether or not I go home. And now all I'm thinking is, I gotta get back home to get to work. This dickhead is fucking with my money. So I'm in the back getting booked, taking my mug shots. They got me taking off my clothes to take pictures of all my tattoos and shit. And one of the cops that was on the scene comes up to me and he says, yeah, man, I thought they gave you a raw deal. And I'm looking at this dude like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean to me right now? You ain't say shit. I just want to know if, you know, once I get out, can I get my gun back? And this dude says, no, that when they confiscate weapons, that they take them and they destroy them. Now I'm really pissed because I know damn well they're not destroying them guns. Them fuckers are keeping them guns for themselves. Hell, some of those cops, they take guns like the one I had and they use them as backup weapons. And I'm mad as hell because that's not only my gun, but shit, that $700 just gone in the wind because of some bullshit. Now, I finally got my phone call and I called my granny. You know, I apologized to her for everything that just happened and whatnot. And she tells me that they told her the reason that they stopped me was because I didn't have a fucking seatbelt on. Now, how in the hell does a seatbelt traffic stop result in you pulling a fucking semi-raid on my grandmother's house? Crooked motherfuckers, man. So, now I'm in jail, laying on this cold-ass concrete slab. I got a shit, but I'll be damned if I use that toilet. And I'm just trying to be patient, wait it out, get before the judge, state my case, get the fuck out of Chicago, and on the way, you know, on the road back to Detroit. So, now it's 5 in the morning. They're about to move everybody out the precinct and take us to the court on 111. Now, they got me in the holding pen with 7 other dudes. And these cats were all locked up on some petty weed shit or other possession-like charges. It was like one dude in there, I think he said he was like 21 or something like that. And he's bragging about his moving up from selling a half an ounce of weed to like a half pound of weed and extolling the virtues of his hustle and hard work. Shit kind of made me chuckle. Then you had other guys in there that could, you know, they could have been certified paralegals and shit. They could tell you what you were going to be sentenced with just by your charge and what judge you was going to go in front of. I mean, they knew that shit to the T. They knew way too much about the legal process from the wrong side of shit. But anyway, it's like 5:45 in the morning and I don't get to see the judge until like 11 o'clock. So again, I have to exercise some patience and try to get as comfortable as possible on yet another cold ass slab. Only this time it's stainless steel. So I finally get to see this public defender lady and she's trying to get me to cop a plea and shit. She says that she can get me what they call an I bond and that I will more than likely get a year of unsupervised probation and I can get out of jail without paying shit. And for a second, I was considering that shit until I was talking, you know, I was walking back to the holding pen and the guard walking me back there was asking me about my case. And after I told him what happened, that old man told me, boy, you better fight that shit. Don't take no plea deal. That's how they get you. They saddle you with these little petty ass crimes, and then if you ever really get into some heavy shit, they use all those petty crimes and they really stick it to your ass. You better fight that shit, boy. So, yeah. So, I finally get before the judge, and the state's attorney is running down the 6 charges they hit me with, all of which I can't remember, but the one that sticks out was the unlawful possession of a weapon charge. Now, the state's attorney tells the judge that they found 18 rounds of ammunition and 2 magazines in my car, which was true. But then he goes on to say that they found another 9 rounds in my gun in my car, which was not true. Oh, and they said my gun wasn't registered, which was also some bullshit. The registration was in my wallet along with my gun license. So any thoughts of pleading went out the window right there. You know, I told my lawyer that they didn't find that gun in my car. They found it at my grandmother's house. I told them where the gun was and how they, you know, I basically told her the whole 9. So now she's telling the judge about my employment, about my gun actually being registered to my home in Michigan, and that I'm a licensed gun owner in the state that I live. And the judge acknowledged that Michigan is a right to carry state, and that unfortunately Illinois was not, which even still is a moot point because at the time of my arrest, I wasn't carrying my gun. But she's still trying to get me out free on this, you know, this I-bond shit they got. And the judge asks if I'm able to pay any monies, which is largely what this shit is about. She asks the judge for a $1,000 bond, and the judge asks if I could pay, you know, $2,000 bond. And all I'm thinking is, yeah, just let me get to my wallet and I can get the fuck out of here. But the guard tells me that they don't have a debit machine in that facility, and that I would have to go to the Cook County Jail and bond out there. Now, at the time, I'm thinking, okay, let's get to the Cook County Jail. Let me pay this $200. Excuse me. I can get on the road, and I can still get back home to Detroit in a reasonable amount of time. Do y'all know these motherfuckers held me for another 6 hours before they transported me along with, you know, dudes already locked up at the Cook County Jail to go to that place? So now we on the bus with the bars on it and shit, guard sitting in front of me with the shotgun ready for some shit to pop off. And the whole time I'm thinking, just let me get to my wallet. So now I'm going through yet another booking process, a process I felt was unnecessary considering I was ready to pay and get the hell out. I didn't plan on being there but for an hour at the most. So they sending me from cell to cell, writing my inmate number on my arm, got me setting up my collect phone call recordings and shit. Then there's the medical evaluations, you know, questions like, are you a drug user? Have you ever had sex with a man? Have you ever shared intravenous needles? That type of shit. And I'm just thinking, let me get to my wallet. So finally, I get to my property where they show you all the stuff you had when they arrested you. And my heart just sank. These motherfuckers sent me to the Cook County Jail with the shoelaces they took out of my shoes, $11.55, and the keys to my car. They didn't have my iPod, or my cell phone, or my tablet, or most importantly, my motherfucking wallet. For whatever reason, that shit was still at the precinct they initially took me to. So now I'm thinking, oh fuck, man, I'm gonna be in here tonight. This is some bullshit. But I still hadn't gotten my phone call yet. So after the last evaluation I had to take, which was a mental evaluation, the lady asked if I had a chance to call my people. I told her no, and she said I could make the call now. So by this time, it's like 7 in the evening, and they stopped accepting bond payments at the Cook County Jail at like 9 o'clock. So I called my aunt. I told her I needed $200 to get out, and that my property was at 111th, which is where I thought it was, but that I needed her to get there before 9 o'clock. And my TT came through. She came and got a nigga. But even with that, it was some bullshit. Because even after somebody posts your bond, now the Cook County Sheriff wants to make sure that you don't have any other warrants before they release you. So I'm moving from holding pen to holding pen as they slowly separate the dudes going home and the dudes that's going to ultimately end up staying there. And these pens are holding up to about 50 dudes in them. Really, nowhere to get comfortable. Everybody needs a fucking bath. The shit ain't the Ritz. One nigga came up to me and I thought I was in a goddamn commercial. Talking about, hey, folk. Those real true religion jeans you got on? I couldn't do shit but shake my head, man. But finally, at like 12:10 in the morning, they called my name. I was getting the fuck out. And I was relieved and pissed all at the same time. I didn't feel like talking. I didn't feel like doing anything but getting some real food and taking a shit. Because I hadn't been in the bathroom in like a day and a half. But I just stewed for a while. You know, I had announced on Twitter and Facebook that I was going to do a special edition Fuck the Police podcast like right after I got out. But I'm glad I didn't. You know, I had to calm down and get some perspective about the whole thing, because that special edition would have been nothing but some angry, hateful, disgusting shit. So I'm glad I just took some time to chill and not give you guys some incoherent story about how fucked up and how crooked the cops are and how they can eat a dick and the whole nine, you know. But make no mistake, I do feel that way about them crooked motherfuckers and what they did to me. But in the end, they will get their just due, because I do plan on suing the city of Chicago, my hometown, the city I love, for violating my civil rights. They illegally searched my car. They, in my opinion, illegally searched my grandmother's home. And even though my grandmother signed a paper that gave them permission to search, I believe she signed that under duress. I mean, it's not like 5 police cars just roll up on my grandmother's house every day. The officers never read me my rights. I didn't even know what the hell I was being charged with until I went before the judge. And because the searches of both my car and my grandmother's home were both illegal,
The confiscation of my Glock 40 was also illegal, and I want my damn gun back. Now, a lot of people, you know, that I've told this story to all ask me the same thing. Why did you tell them where the gun was? You know, you should have told them the gun was in Detroit. But what I explained to them is that I was trying to be cooperative, that I had not, you know, I hadn't done anything wrong, and that lying about where the gun would have, you know, was would not have reflected positively on me. Should it come out in court that I lied about the whereabouts of my gun, now it calls into question everything else I said. So now, in the Chicago police overplaying their hand and trampling over my rights, they now have lied before a judge about how they came about finding my gun. I mean, in hindsight, I could look back at the whole thing and say I shouldn't have said a damn thing at all, not told them why I had the ammo in my car or any of that. But in my effort to be cooperative, they ran roughshod over my rights. And then they wonder why no one wants to cooperate with them in the community. If they're going to do this to someone who is trying to cooperate with them, just imagine what they're doing to dudes who don't cooperate. And it's police like the ones that I came across that Sunday afternoon that ultimately undermine any type of community trust where they're supposed to serve and protect. But we're coming up on the next musical break. When I return, I got the listener feedback to get to, and we're going to wrap up the show. So stick around.
Listen. Tonight I wanna do a little something different, you know. If that's alright with you, don't be scared, baby.
It's bigger than
shorty.
Anything you experience,
I need you to be spontaneous.
Tonight you're gonna get out of character.
There's nothing that we'll do all the time. Baby, this fantasy is mine. You said you'd try anything once for me, and this is the one that I really need.
The way I feel about you won't change,
and I'm not trying to make it go both ways, but tonight you need to go both ways for me, baby. Oh, oh.
It's bigger than
shorty.
Anything you experience,
I need you to be spontaneous.
Tonight you're gonna get out of character. I wanna experiment,
shorty.
Take you places you've never been.
Let me introduce you to another woman.
Tonight you're gonna get out of character.
We'll go out to eat, the time is mine.
I got that.
That's where you can meet and unwind. Wanna make sure you're comfortable, cause we done talked about this once before.
Your smile is telling me you have my trust.
Girl, let's bounce, we're both curious.
You, me, and she can get it all done, cause the night will be as one.
It's bigger than
sure.
Anything you experience,
I need you to be spontaneous.
For me,
but you're gonna get out of character,
baby.
I wanna experiment,
shorty.
Take you places you've never been.
Ooh. Let me introduce you to another woman.
Ooh.
But you're gonna get out of character.
Lay down, just let us chorus your body, baby. It's metaphysical. Start in the bed and end up on
the floor.
It's bigger than
a different girl.
Anything you experience,
you don't like this.
Trust me,
be spontaneous.
Ooh, baby,
but you're gonna get out of character.
Get away from what you used to.
I wanna experiment,
shorty.
Take you places you never
try something
been.
New.
Let me introduce you to another woman.
Yeah, man. Some old Big, your woman to have a threesome with you shit right there. That was Avant without a character off of his self-titled Avant album. So go cop that if you like this shit right here, alright? But now it's time to hit up the Span Report mailbag and see what the people got to say. Let's see. I got an email here from a brother named Derek. Let's see what's on Derek's mind real quick. Yo, Span, I'm a new fan and I recently watched your video on you being a Freemason and your Christian faith. Now, you said all the things you speak come back with facts. This I cannot argue when it comes to your Freemasonry beliefs. My question to you is, how can you be so sure that your Christian faith is so truthful? How can you be positive that the things you believe as a Christian are true, such as heaven or hell, or that Jesus was the only Son of God? Just a few examples. Now, I do not send this to troll you. I'm just a young man who struggles with religious views. I'm just curious as to what gives you faith. I guess that would be the word. P.S. Love the show, and even though we don't share the same views or opinions, I, as a level-headed adult, I can enjoy hearing someone who is contrary to me and not being so arrogant that I believe anyone who disagrees with me is retarded. All right, thanks for the email, brother. Okay, let's see. Let me first say that the video that you're referring to, I was speaking about the factual information about Freemasonry and the history of the fraternity. Most of the things that I presented in those videos can be traced back and studied and cross-referenced, the whole nine. So when I say you can't say any of the things I presented here aren't based on facts, I'm speaking about the Freemasonic order. Now, faith is entirely different. Faith is an inherent trust or a belief in something. It doesn't have to be proven. And for the most part, those of us who hold religious beliefs couldn't prove to you to say that Jesus is the Son of God or that even that God exists. We could point to you things that we believe is the result of the work or the will of God, but we cannot definitively prove it. So the thing with faith is that, you know, it sustains a lot of people. It brings comfort to people. It gives them a way to explain things that they couldn't explain otherwise. You know, there were plenty of times when I was growing up where stuff happened in my neighborhood where I felt lucky to be alive. Now, someone who doesn't have a belief in God or something like that would say it's just a coincidence that you weren't killed, where someone like myself may feel that it was more than a coincidence, that there was a reason why I was spared. I can't prove it to you. I can just tell you what I believe. I appreciate that email, though, brother, and I hope to hear from you again soon, though, real talk. I got another email here. This one is from the homie Lavelle. Let's see what Lavelle has to say. Hey, man, real nice show for real. Came over from the Dark Hater show and loving your podcast. As far as that whole white girl mob shit goes, for some reason, I don't really care about them saying the word nigga. However, their little ghetto-ass black homies should have let them know to just say it around them and not in the public. They look like fools for standing behind these rats. They will be in the wrong place one day and will have that ass put back in check quick. As far as those rats go, they have created a character. Because at any time in the future, they can go get a haircut, makeover, and change up their language, and boom, they're just normal white girls again. Real niggas don't get to do that shit. Anyway, keep them coming. Peace. P.S. I feel you on working outside. I deliver groceries for a living, and it's been a bitch working in the heat. I have a refrigerated trailer myself, but once you open the door, it gets hot real quick. A shout out to all the girls with coach purses who grocery shop with food stamps. All right, brother. All right. That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that one yet. But to get to the media email, though, yeah, I agree with you. And I said so on the last podcast that if the people in the neighborhoods didn't mind them calling them nigga, then by all means, there should be no problem amongst that circle. The problem stems from her not acknowledging that not everybody is going to feel the same way. And they can get less than a fuck about her hood giving them a pass on that. So wherever they go to do shows outside of Oakland, please rest assured that there will be a pretty heavy police presence on the premises, no doubt. Thanks for that email, though, brother, and I hope to, you know, you continue to listen to the show and support the show, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. I got one more email from Jamil, and Jamil writes in to say, I just wanted to give you props on the podcast. Keep doing your thing, dog. The comment about them bum-ass niggas and hood rat chicks at the high school reunion was classic. That shit about high school being the pinnacle of some people's lives was also right on point. But anyway, dog, the podcast is great. Keep it 100. Well, all right, man. Thank you, brother. You know, I appreciate that. You know, I was just trying to give you guys an honest and clear description of what was going on there. Apparently, I was a bit too honest, though. It's some folks from Cooley mad at me now because of that shit. But fuck it, man. It wasn't like I was lying. Thanks again for checking out the podcast, and I hope to hear from you again soon, brother, no doubt. Okay, I got some new iTunes reviews, so let me check that out. Q Dior One left us a 5-star review. Good looking. And goes on to write on that, "I rarely write reviews, but when I do, it must be 5 stars. If you're looking for an awesome podcast, look no further. Mr. Span's commentary to current events is both funny and insightful. You will not be disappointed with this quality show. Keep it up, Mr. Span. I look forward to every podcast." Oh, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Seriously. I really do appreciate the reviews you guys leave and the 5-star ratings. It helps keep me from feeling like I'm talking to myself, and it helps the show grow. So I really do appreciate each and every last review you guys leave. Now, for whatever reason, iTunes has these reviews all mixed up. One would think that they would put them in the order, you know, from the time that they were written, but for whatever reason, they don't. But if I missed your review, I'll try to catch you on the next go-round. And if I have any reviews from any of my listeners from overseas and I haven't read any of those, I think iTunes got some extra steps that I need to take in order to access those. So I'm going to hit up some people in the know to, you know, to show you guys some love, too. But while I'm talking about you guys, let me show some love to the people that have been showing the most love to the Span Report podcast. And by showing love, I mean the areas that download the show the most. So let me give you guys some shout-outs. Shout-out to my my overseas listeners, especially my people over in France, Paris specifically, for showing the Span Report so much love, man. Shout-out to my people over in Germany. You know, they showing mad love over there. I wonder if it's because Span is a German last name, though. Either way, I ain't mad at you. Thank you for your support, man. I really appreciate it. Shout out to the fam over in the UK. You know, I hope you guys are really over there and that you're able to get it together. You're able to get it right over there, man. Thank you for your support. Now, okay, we got somebody new to the map now, too. South Africa is listening. So definitely shouts out to y'all over there in the homeland. Two more newcomers to the board. Venezuela and Mexico is now listening to the Span Report. Welcome to the fam. Hope to hear from you guys a whole lot. South Korea is holding it down as always. But I want to save the biggest shout out for my listeners over in Japan. You guys are the biggest market for the Span Report outside of the United States. I appreciate you guys over there, and I thank all of you who listen to help spread the word about the show. Much love, man, and that's real. Now, for all of you that show me love, I'd like for you to do me a favor and hit up some of my favorite podcasters and their shows and spread that love around. Hit up the Haterazzi radio show with my homie Dark Hater, where you get all of my random Facebook shoutouts exclusively. And as you know, he helped put your man Span onto this podcast thing. Check out Rod and Karen over at the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, one of my favorite shows to listen to. You gotta check them out. And Clove and Shirley from the Chonilla.com podcast, they're back and they're doing their thing. Definitely go show them some love. Hook up with Phenom Black and Miss Music Lover and the rest of the crew over at the Where's My 40 Acres podcast. And then there's the Regular Cat Radio podcast. You guys got to check them out. And Mr. Moody's Neighborhood, you guys need to definitely check him out. I'm telling you, I don't listen to terrestrial radio much at all anymore. And if you like my, you know, like and enjoy my show, you should definitely hit these shows up and show them some love, man. Trust me on this. Now, another thing I wanted to hit you guys up with is that I know a lot of people that I try to turn on to podcasts think the only way you can listen to them is on an iPod, even though there are different podcasting apps available on all platforms of phones. And you can go to a lot of the, you know, the host websites and listen to the shows right from their website. But for those of you who have Android phones and you want to check out all of these podcasts, there's an app in the Android market called Pocket Cast. The app costs $3 and it's well worth it. You can either download the podcast or stream the podcast over the app, or well, at least over your phone's data connection. And every podcast that I just mentioned can be found on this app. And the app automatically alerts you to any new episode posted by me or any other show you subscribe to on the app. So you're never out of the loop from new episodes. So definitely check that app out if you're trying to get into this podcasting thing, or at least become an avid listener of podcasts. Now, for those of you who want to reach out to the Span Report and let your voice be heard, here's how you can do that. You can call the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's 313-288-0485. And for those of you who don't like the phone or can't make the call, you can hit me up on the email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also hit me up on my Mr. Span fan page on Facebook and leave me a message or a video or whatever you may want me to respond to or cover here on the show. You can leave an iTunes review, hopefully a 5-star rating. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My name is Mr. Span, as it is everywhere. That's MR_Span. And lastly, but definitely not least, you can go to thespanreport.com and you can leave comments on the shows right on the website. And you can use either your Facebook or your Twitter accounts there, you know, to do that with. So it's a lot of shit I gotta check, but it's more than enough ways to get at me. But that's it for today, fam. I had fun today, and I can't wait to get to do this all over again and get to talk to you guys again. So until next time, fam, peace.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer who don't believe in? Get out of line. Alright, alright. No church in the wild.
Tears on the mausoleum floor. Blood stains the Colosseum doors. Lies on the lips of a priest. Thanksgiving disguised as a feast. Rolling in the Rolls Royce Caniche. Only the doctors got this, I'm hiding from police. Cocaine seats, all white like I got the whole thing bleached. Drug dealer chic. Wondering if a thug's prayers reach. It's pious, pious, for God loves pious. Socrates asks, whose bias do y'all seek? Off of Plato, screech. I'm out here ballin', I know you hear my sneaks. Jesus was the carpenter, Yeezy, lay beats. Hope will flow, the Holy Ghost, get the hell up out your seats. Preach.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer?
Fuck nobody without telling me. Sunglasses and Advil. Last night was mad real. Sun coming up 5 a.m. I wonder if they got cabs still. Think about the girl in all leopard who was rubbing the wood like Kiki Shepherd. Two tattoos, one red, no apologies. The other said love is cursed by monogamy. That's something that the pastor don't preach. That's something that a teacher can't teach. When we die, the money we can't keep, but we probably spend it all, cause the pain ain't cheap. Preach.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a